because I wanted people to realize on the other end of success, there were a lot of sleepless nights. There were a lot of mistakes. There were a lot of, you know, things could go either way. But as long as you kept going, you're going to make it. As long as you just didn't quit.
Welcome to the Consistent and Predictable Income Community Podcast. The CPI methodology is the only system that teaches the proprietary process of CPI, which is the key to having consistent and predictable income for salespeople without letting time, money, and relationships fall through the cracks.
Nelson Tressler is a motivational speaker and the author of The Unlucky Sperm Club. He is also the founder and CEO of They Get Smarter Vertical Bar Goals Elevated. He has used goals in personal development and creating a life by design. In this new episode of the CPI podcast, Nelson will share his experience of how he stopped being a victim of his circumstance and achieved success in business and life.
My name is Dan Roshan. I'm the host of the CPI podcast, which is a real estate show designed to help top producing agents leverage and scale your business, allowing you to earn more money in less time, for seasoned agents to help you get to the next level of stable income, and for new agents to help you find the right way to freedom and money so that each of you can reach your potential as a person and as a real estate agent, which means you'll have certainty in your future. Thanks for joining me. Enjoy the show.
Welcome. Today I'm joined with Nelson Tressler, who is a motivational speaker and the author of The Unlucky Sperm Club. So today Nelson and I are going to be talking about creating your life by design, from unlucky circumstances to a billion with a B of real estate sales transactions, and starting almost 20 startup businesses under his name. So we were adding it up. We got out a calculator. We got an abacus. We got out all the computer generated models, and we think Nelson did 20 businesses, right? So we'll ask more about that here in a second. Welcome, Nelson. How are you today?
Great, man. Thanks for having me on there.
It's my pleasure. So Nelson, so you've done a whole bunch in your life in business and real estate, etc. Is that true?
Yeah. No, I've had my hands in a lot of different things. And been fortunate in some and not so fortunate in others, but you know, I'm sitting here coming out on the other end and wanting to share my story and help other people do the same thing.
Well, that's great, and I'm interested to hear more about your story. So let's go back to when you started a business. So what was the first business that you got involved in?
My first business was window cleaning. Worked my way through school, got out of the Air Force, went in there on the GI Bill to get money to go to school, and we moved in with my in-laws after I got out of the Air Force, and he was a dentist. Some guy had painted some things on his office window for Christmas, and like a Christmas mural, never came back to take it off, and we were having lunch and he was talking about it, and I'm like, I was just waiting for school to start. I'm like, I'll come in and take it off for you, and I can see a business in just about anything. And I was cleaning it and looking up and down the street, and I'm like, who's cleaning all these guys his windows? And that light bulb moment, and I went out, got some cards printed up, some flyers, and just started door knocking, and ended up using that business for 3 years to get me through college.
Now I'm curious, Nelson, were you in partnership with the Christmas design guy?
That would have been a good thing. Just follow him around and get those clients, but nope, didn't think that far ahead.
I mean, it's like you break it, I fix it type design. Right. That could have worked out well for you. Right. So window cleaning for 3 years while you were in school. And then at some point in your career, you got into real estate sales. Is that true?
Yeah. So I ended up taking an internship right out of college. Didn't even know what commercial real estate was. Got a finance degree, wanted to be a stockbroker or something in finance. And none of the stockbroker companies had internships, and I needed that to graduate. And I talk about this in my book, The Unlucky Sperm Club, but ended up being really persistent with a commercial real estate guy. I thought it was maybe owning apartments or something like that. And I'm like, that might be something cool to do in the future, and ended up getting hired for that internship, and then getting hired right out of school to move into that position and become partners with the guy who I had the internship with.
That's pretty impressive. So what is the Unlucky Sperm Club?
Well, I have a pretty unique origin story. My mom became pregnant with me when she was 15 years old. And while she was pregnant with me, her father, who was the local trash collector in a small town in central Pennsylvania, drove into the town square. There he spotted two police officers. He stuck a gun out the window and opened fire on those police officers, killing one and critically wounding another. And eventually my grandfather was captured and brought to stand trial, where he was facing the death penalty for what he had done. And during his trial, my mom got up and testified that the reason that her father had shot and killed that police officer was that police officer had raped her. And she was now pregnant with his baby, who was me. And testimony of my mom worked. My grandfather's first trial ended in a hung jury. The state took the death penalty off the table because of my mom's testimony. And eventually my grandfather was found guilty and sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole, where he ended up spending the rest of his life, more than 40 years behind bars, leaving behind my mom, me now, and my mom was one of 15 children in this small town to deal with what he had done. And so that's how my life began. You know, I'm born to a 15-year-old mother, which was not easy. And then eventually she meets a man who becomes my stepfather, who is very physically and emotionally abusive to both of us. He's an alcoholic, an angry drunk, and they have four children in quick succession. And because of the lifestyle they're living, a lot of the basic needs of my siblings fall upon me. And because of that, you know, my mom would rather me stay home from school and help her with the kids than go to school. School was never given a priority. And I remember at the end of fourth grade, the last day of school, you get excited. Who am I going to have for fifth grade? And are my buddies going to be in my homeroom? And I look down at my report card and I see I have straight Fs. I'd missed more than 60 days of school that year. And I come to find out that I'd be repeating the fourth grade. The following year, I was placed into special ed. I couldn't read, I couldn't write, couldn't spell. And eventually come to find out I had dyslexia. And that's the way my life was going. And then one day, my stepfather was walking home drunk from a bar. There was somebody else driving home drunk from that bar, and they ended up hitting and killing him. And it's at this time that my mom has five small children now. She's never worked outside of the home. She's dropped out of school in the eighth grade. And no matter how much she looks at this problem of trying to raise this family on her own, she cannot figure out how she's going to do it. And it's at this time that she decides that she's going to take her own life. And my mom attempts suicide. And fortunately, she wasn't successful. But when she got out of the hospital, it was at that time that my family got split up. And that's when I went to go live with my grandmother, who was the wife of the man who shot and killed the police officer. And I don't know how much further you want me to go, but that kind of takes me up to about 11 years old.
Well, that's definitely a rough 11 years of a start there. So your grandfather killed your dad, your biological father.
There's a lot of twists and turns in that story. Okay. That I talk about in the Unlucky Sperm Club. I don't want to give them all away, but it's definitely not as everything seems. As I said here today, I'm still not sure who my biological father is.
Okay. And so how much older than your siblings were you? Because you mentioned that you were taking care of your siblings. How much older were you?
I was 5 years older than my next brother. And then all those were 4 years apart. My sister was 6 months old when my stepfather got hit and killed by the drunk driver.
So you were not really equipped to take care of your next youngest sibling, and maybe a little bit more equipped for the one that's, I guess, at this time, 9 years younger than you. I mean, you're 5 years older, so you're a kid basically raising a kid, and your mom's a kid basically raising a kid.
Yeah, I mean,
was that an accurate description?
Yeah, no, I mean, I remember changing diapers and fixing bottles. As you can imagine, we were dirt poor, like no food in the refrigerator poor. The lights didn't turn on all the time when you hit the switch because we didn't pay the bill. You know, there were winters where we were all snuggled around the oven because we couldn't pay for, you know, oil to heat our house. So we're dealing with a lot of that. And then the abuse from my stepfather. So very, very rough upbringing. until I moved in with my grandmother. And then my grandmother, you know, was the first time that I didn't have to care for my younger siblings. There was always food in the house and, you know, the lights always turned on. There was always heat. So that's when I really started to reflect upon my life and what direction my life was going. And one day a counselor came from the local university and they started talking about what it would take to get into college. And at this time in my life, you know, I'm in special ed. I can't read, I can't write, I can't spell. Of the family that my mom came from, of those 15 children, only two had ever graduated from high school. None had even attended a college. And I start to think, wow, if I could get a college degree, the rest of my life after getting that college degree would be easy and perfect. That was my mindset then. And then just like anytime you tell yourself you're going to try to do something that's difficult, that voice in the back of your head starts screaming at you all the reasons you shouldn't even try it. And I remember thinking, Nelson, you're in special ed. You can't read, you can't write, you can't spell. Of the family you come from, two had even graduated high school. None had even gone to college. And then I start talking myself out of it, thinking, I'm going to be lucky to graduate high school. But I get to the point where, hey, what do I have to lose? I saw where I was heading. I didn't like it. So I started to do those things that I thought would get me into college. And it took me 12 years. It took me four different universities. It took me 4 years in the Air Force. But eventually, I became that first person in my family to graduate from college.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
How did you deal with the dyslexia during that time to be able to learn how to read and write and be able to handle that?
Yeah, I still deal with it every day, man. I cannot spell. No matter what I try to do, I just took a trip to Hawaii and I really have trouble with nouns and looking at those words over there just made my head hurt. I mean, I still struggle with that. And, you know, thankfully there's talk to text. Thankfully there's spell check. You know, I can definitely read, pretty well. I got to really focus and concentrate, but spelling's still a problem. And I just do workarounds. There's nothing I can do about it. No matter how hard I try to practice to spell a word, I can spell it that day. And then the next day it's like I never, you know, practiced it. So I'm just trying to, be resourceful and work with what I have.
Yeah. I've observed that people with dyslexia often are really, really smart because you process things differently than people without dyslexia. And as a result of that, you end up learning better ways to be able to process or remember that. Would you say that that's accurate?
Yeah. I mean, I listen to books on audio. I read when I'm on vacation and I don't have, you know, I have a lot of time. So I enjoy reading then. But other times when I'm in my car, I'm listening to podcasts. I'm listening to audio books. So that's how I've learned to learn. And I mean, we live in an age now where you can listen to everything. I mean, there's apps out there to where you take a picture of text and it'll read it back to you. So there's really no excuses. I've just figured out how to work the best way that I can with the tools that I have and to get through it. And I think you're right. I think because of those struggles, I've always loved to learn. And I think I've loved to learn even more because of that dyslexia. And I think it's ended up helping me in the long run.
Is your mom still alive today?
Yeah, my mom's still alive. I have a great relationship with her. I mean, I have a lot of people who, you know, look at that or they read my book, The Unlucky Sperm Club, and they see some of the stuff that's happened in there. And they think, you know, don't you blame your mom? And absolutely not. My mom had it even rougher than I did. And she is not the same person that she was. Once my stepfather was hit and killed by that drunk driver, that opened it up for her to meet my eventual stepdad. And they've been married for 35 years. And he is the exact opposite of my other stepfather. I mean, he treats her like a queen and she never has to worry about being beat. He would never dream of hitting her. And, they have a great life. In fact, we just planned a trip. She's coming out. I've got some extra miles on my lease before I turn it in and I feel like I'm getting cheated. So I'm like, you know what? You want to come out and we're going to hit some national parks up in the Pacific Northwest. I've got a goal to see all the national parks and she loves them too. And I'm like, come on out and let's go hit the road for a week. And so we just booked her flight today and she's coming out next week and we're hitting the road.
That's awesome. Last question about your family. I want to dive into business. What about your siblings?
Yeah, I get along great with all my siblings. My sister went to go live live with my aunt when our family got split up. But my three
Your mom's sister.
But okay. We all lived within. My mom eventually moved, you know, a stone's throw away from my gram. And then the rest of those 15 kids, about 10 of them live within, you know, a half a block. So everybody was there. I still had a good relationship with my mom growing up, even though I was living with my gram. My sister lived across the street with my aunt. And then eventually my mom and stepdad moved two or three houses up the street from us, you know, so you could walk across the backyards. But yeah, I've got great relationships with all my siblings. They're all doing well. Good. And yeah.
The other three, where did the other three go?
So yeah, I had three brothers and they all live, you know, in that same town I grew up in, pretty much on the same streets that I grew up on.
You already know 87% of all real estate agents fail in this business. And you also know it doesn't have to be that way. If you're a real estate agent and you're looking for consistent and predictable income, I invite for you to get your free copy of Real Estate Evolution, the 10-step guide to CPI, consistent and predictable income for real estate agents. And you can do so when you visit www.therealestateevolution.com. I'll share with you your book that I authored to show you the way. And it's free. You just have to pay for the shipping. Thanks.
So what got you interested? I mean, so you did the washing windows, cleaning windows, and you were in the Air Force. You went to college. What was, you know, what got you inspired to be an entrepreneur?
I think it was always in me. I mean, from as long as I could remember, I always looked at things and like, oh, that would make a good business. I pretty much can monetize anything in my brain when I look at it. And I just looked at, like, for instance, window cleaning. I had applied to wait tables and, you know, all those traditional jobs that college students do to get through. And this one, I could look at it and say, well, you know, I'm going to make a lot more per hour. I can work whenever I want to work. I can study. You know, it took me a lot more studying, I think, than most college students to get through college. So I, you know, window cleaning gave me that flexibility. It also gave me the money. And then my wife worked for her dad. Her dad was a dentist. She worked as dental assistant, getting me through school, also proofreading all of my papers. And so, yeah, there was a lot of help in that college degree, but ended up figuring it out. And then when I got into commercial real estate, I was exposed to all these business owners that needed to find real estate for their businesses. And so I'm looking at all these businesses that people are doing and being successful. And I ended up investing in a children's daycare center chain in Las Vegas. The guy ended up, you know, we opened up six children's learning centers in Vegas. We funded them, me and my stepfather, actually. And then when the recession hit, they were failing. And we started to have a look at the business and why we were failing, and come to find out the guy was embezzling money, more than $1 million from us. And we ended up having to buy him out to get those businesses back and try to save them. So that was the first real business that I was involved with, and was eventually able to save those businesses and sell them for a profit. And then also I was buying real estate at this time. I bought an old children's daycare center, was looking to tear it down and build a quick serve restaurant on it or something. And a lady came to me with the idea of a doggy daycare business. And I almost laughed. I'm like, yeah, you know, and you got to remember, this was 15 years ago before they were popular. And I pretty much took the meeting for amusement purposes and just to kind of see. But she did a great job of pitching it and kind of told me that, hey, this is the future. And I started to research it myself. And I started, you know, I was such a deal maker at this time. Like I just figured out a way how it could work. Sure. And then by the time I got back to her, she had found another location. But by that time I was sold on the business and money was pouring in through commercial real estate. And I'm like, screw it, I'm going to do this myself. And it, you know, I had the building, I had the real estate, ended up doing it, hiring a staff out of Craigslist, which was a miserable failure. And then ended up my partner in real estate, who was my brother-in-law. He loved animals, had worked in a vet's office. He was my assistant. assistant in real estate. And I pretty much begged him to say, go in and take this thing over until I could hire a new manager. And he ended up taking it over and turned it around and it started to flourish. He loved it. So I made him an equity partner. And then we built that into one of the largest privately held pet resort chains in the country.
Wow. So you essentially took your commissions in commercial real estate sales and then invested them into real estate and into businesses.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I mean, I lived a great lifestyle. Like I was not scrimping pennies. I was doing really well in commercial real estate. I eventually became the top salesman worldwide for a top five commercial real estate firm. So I was doing really well at commercial real estate. But you know, I didn't need all the lavish things. I was always looking towards the future. I knew I didn't want to do commercial real estate till I was 70 years old. I didn't want to do it. I saw people who were doing it. It's a rough business. It's a thankless business a lot of times. So I set a goal to be out of commercial real estate in 20 years. And I graduated college in 2000. I retired from commercial real estate in 2020. So I was able to meet that. I was putting money away. I was putting it into businesses. I got into commercial rock yards. I got into family fun center, trampoline parks, tanning salons, put a lot of money into commercial real estate, developed some stuff myself, and bought some other buildings. And just put it all together. I wanted all these multiple streams of income. And that's, you know, eventually what I was able to build and design, you know, with that long-term perspective 20 years ago. And I think that's where a lot of people get confused, because they see these people who have had success and they think it just happened. They think it happened in the last year or 5 years. I mean, I put all this stuff in place with 20 years and I had kind of a 20-year plan. And because I had that broad horizon and I knew it was going to take time and energy and a lot of work, I was able to accomplish it. I never, you know, I wouldn't say I never went after that quick buck or that get rich quick scheme. I think I tapped my toe in there, but realized that wasn't the way that I was going to do it. I always had most of my energy and focus on the long term.
I call that an overnight success, 20 years in the making.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Yeah.
Nelson, what was your biggest, I'm going to be careful with this word, so I'm going to say biggest failure, and now let me qualify it. What was your biggest learning opportunity?
Yeah. And I love that you kind of framed it that way, because I look at failure, I've never failed, because if things haven't gone my way, things haven't worked out in the time frame that they, but I learned from that. I think my biggest learning experience was with the children's daycare centers. I kind of figured everyone did business the way that I would do business, you know, be honest and do your best and work for your partners. And I quickly realized this guy wasn't doing that. This guy was a shyster and he was looking to take the easy way out and cheat his partners out of money. And I, you know, it was eye-opening to me. I came from a small town and, you know, I surrounded myself with good, honest people. And I just thought that's the way most people were. And I thought that's the way this guy was. And come to find out he wasn't. And you just saw all the creative ways he was trying to screw you. It was disheartening. And now I kind of go into businesses with that in the back of my mind, which, you know, is no fun, but it's also, I think, a lot safer.
You'd almost think that a guy like that, if he spent the same amount of energy into, you know, into a healthy partnership, into thriving together, my goodness, you know, because it's probably more energy to screw somebody over than it is just to do the right thing and to work together, you know, in many cases.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, he was hiding this stuff all the time, you know, in meetings and financials and, you know, all this stuff. Like if he would have just did it the right way, chances are we'd still be in business today. We would have made it through the recession. And instead of having six locations, you know, maybe we have 15 and maybe we do an exit that's worth, you know, $25 million. Cause that was the plan going in. But again, it was that short-term perspective. You know, he wanted to make another, you know, $150,000 a year screwing us, as opposed to looking for the future and doing it on the up and up. And it, you know what, it might work out in the short term, it never works out in the long term.
So Nelson, tell me about I Got Smarter, Goals Elevated.
Yeah. So you've heard a little bit about where I started from. And now you kind of see where I'm at now. I became obsessed with goals and personal development. And, you know, once I graduated from college, I looked and like, wow, you know, I didn't even really know what goals were then, but I had that goal. And I'm like, what else could I do if I really sat down and focused on goals and developing myself? I also realized the potential that was inside of me. For the longest time growing up, you know, I was damaged goods. I was that kid from that murder trial or from that family. And so I always kind of fell into place because I thought that's who I was. And then when I graduated college, I realized there's potential in here and more potential than I thought and a lot more potential than the people looking, you know, looking at me from afar thought. And I'm like, what else could I do? How far can I go with goals and personal development? And I became obsessed. And over the last 25 years, I've used it in every area of my life, you know, business, health, my marriage. I just celebrated 25 years of marriage. And again, that was not easy. You know, we were probably a few arguments away from not making it 25 years. And I talk about that. I was really transparent in the Unlucky Sperm Club. You're not a victim of your circumstances, but a product of your choices. Because I wanted people to realize on the other end of success, there were a lot of sleepless nights. There were a lot of mistakes. There were a lot of, you know, things could go either way. But as long as you kept going, you're going to make it. As long as you just didn't quit. And that's what this book, I put it out there to help people realize that just keep going. These people who are successful, they've got struggles just like you do. They had times where they were pulling their hair out and they couldn't sleep for weeks at a time. But they just kept going. They didn't quit. And that's the difference, I think, for a lot of people. And so becoming obsessed with goals, I use them in some form or fashion over the last 25 years. I went to every seminar I could afford. I used just about every goal program out on the market. And what I realized was there were some things that worked and some things that didn't. No program kind of had it all together. And when I was able to exit a few of these businesses, and you have that question where if time and money doesn't matter, what would you do with your life? And that this is what I wanted to do with my life. I wanted to help other people realize what potential is inside of them and how they can realize that potential using the right tools, the right knowledge, and the right support. And that's when I designed this program called I Got Smarter. And I, you know, I'm like, wow, this would be really cool if we could put it into an app. And so I built it into an app. And I put it out there and I priced it to where money is not an issue. For $10 a month and 10 minutes a day, you can design a life that you can't even imagine right now, as long as you're consistent with it. And if your goals aren't worth $10 a month or 10 minutes a day, you need bigger goals. And that's the whole premise of I Got Smarter. It's changed people's lives. It's taken them from where they felt hopeless to where with the tools and the knowledge and the support found in it, they're living lives they couldn't imagine a year or 2 years ago.
Recently wrote the book, Real Estate Evolution, the 10-step guide to CPI, consistent and predictable income for real estate agents. I wrote this book because I have sold real estate since 2007 and developed an immense amount of experience and knowledge. During my journey, I've witnessed hundreds and maybe even thousands of real estate agents fail in this business. And I firmly believe that that's a shame. In Real Estate Evolution, I will show you the exact steps that I have used as a real estate salesperson to sell 1 to 15 homes every single month for the past 129 consecutive months. It took me more than 2 decades to learn the sales and persuasion techniques and more than 1 decade to master the real estate sales techniques to be able to produce the content that makes up this book. It took me more than a year to write at a pace of 3 hours every single day. If you're a real estate agent and you're looking for consistent and predictable income in your business, I invite you to get the book, Real Estate Evolution, and you can get that by visiting www.therealestateevolution.com. And I'll even give it to you for free as long as you pay for the post.
So, Nelson, what's your biggest challenge you're facing today?
You know what? I've always dealt in real estate and real, you know, concrete businesses. Now I'm doing this digitally and, you know, it's all brand new to me. I never used social media until now. And, you know, social media is probably a big part of this, getting the word out there. So I'm learning that. I'm learning, you know, I need help to turn on the computer, let alone do all the things that I need to do to run this business. And, you know, designing an app and dealing with people and working remotely. So there's a lot of new struggles with this new business. It's taken longer than I thought. There's been more struggles and hurdles than I thought, but it's fun. And, you know, it's one of those things where I wake up every day and I'm just like, I know this program's going to change people's lives. I know people are going to look back 10, 12 years from now, 20 years from now and say, man, that changed my life. And what else, what other legacy do you want to leave but to help other people? And the one thing I realized, goals are generational. It's not just, you know, when I set a goal, it's not just for me, it's my family. You know, my family is living a drastically different life than I lived just one generation later. And that's the power that everybody has when they set a goal. It's not just for them, it's for their posterity and the generations to follow.
I was smiling when you shared about the fact that it's taken you longer than what you've expected. And it sort of surprised me because I know that you've learned this through your journey, as I have also, because I'm also a serial entrepreneur, that it always takes longer and it's more expensive than what you ever imagined.
Twice as long and twice as much. You know, at least. If you're ever thinking about a business, those are two of the good metrics to put in there. Are you willing to go twice as long as you think it's going to take? And are you willing to spend twice as much money as you think? And that's holding true for me as well.
Yeah. I think there's a piece of that also is the DNA of an entrepreneur is somebody that's very optimistic and is very confident in their ability to be able to see what others can't see and to get done what some others can't get done. And so sometimes I find that you might be a little bit overly ambitious in regards to what you think you can do in a short period of time. And, you know, I think that that's something that I've personally fallen for that trap a few times. So thank you for sharing that.
And I think a serial entrepreneur, somebody who's done it before, I look back on some of these businesses that I've sold for crazy amounts of money. And I look, how many times was I willing to throw my hands up and quit early on? And I think, you know, if I would have done that, I would have forfeited this. I wouldn't have made it there. And I feel like, you know what? I'm in the same spot with this business and doing this. And I want to look back and say, you know what? I remember when I was just like, you know what? Screw it. Why am I doing this? I don't need to do this. But I want to look back 10 years from now and be glad that I did. And I think anybody who has that mindset, anybody who's willing to get through those times, that's who we hear about, right? Everyone else has quit. We're never going to hear about that business. We're never going to hear about them because they quit before they build it up to where we know about it. And that's where I'm at right now. Hardly anybody's, you know, knows about me or I got smarter, but that's only for now. In a year, in 5 years, in 10 years, they're going to hear about me because I didn't quit today.
Nelson, thank you for being an inspiration today. How can somebody get in touch with you and how can somebody find I Got Smarter?
Yeah, you can go to nelsontressler.com and everything's available there. My book is on there. You can find my book, The Unlucky Sperm Club. You are not a victim of your circumstances, but a product of your choices. It's also available on Amazon. And if you like listening to books, it's available on Audible. And then the I Got Smarter app, Goals Elevated, is also at nelsontressler.com. You can also find that at igotsmarter.com. And it is available on Apple and Android on the app stores.
You know, the only thing that I'm sad about in this interview is the fact that I only got like a small little sliver of your life. And so I'm going to go get that book myself, and I'm going to encourage for others to do as well, because I know that there's a lot more that we did not have the opportunity to have a conversation about today. And you are an amazing person, Nelson. So thank you for sharing a small part of yourself with us today, and God bless you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Dan. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Hate the feeling of missing out and not knowing where to start? Aside from grabbing a copy of The Real Estate Evolution, the 10-step guide to CPI, we also encourage you to join our ever-growing group, the Consistent and Predictable Income Community. Apply for a membership on Facebook and visit us at thecpicommunity.com online to listen to our previous superstar interviews.
What's up, you guys? Jeff Cohn here. I'm really excited to be interviewing Mr. Dan Roshan.
Dan is a top team leader in the DC area with Keller Williams.
Dan is fantastic. He's a go-giver. He helps other real estate agents level up their business, level up their life.
Dan's a very successful realtor as well as author.
He just came out with a book for real estate agents to kind of help people pivot. We went through and talked about how to succeed in adversity.
you are still listening, it is because you align with the CPI community. That means that you love to learn. You are ambitious, qualified, smart, and professional. Mostly, you understand that you're in charge to design your life. If you do not want to wait until next week's show is posted, I invite you right now to visit www.thecpicommunity.com, which is the official website of the CPI community. There, you'll have access to eavesdrop on past conversations I've had with the top salespeople, business owners, and entrepreneurs. The content is free, and there's no opt-in. If you really want to hit the ground running, I encourage you to apply on the homepage of thecpicommunity.com to become CPI certified. It is a compensated service, and those that have become certified have reported back that they have more than tripled their business sales and done so in 20% less time. The CPI certification is a part of the CPI curriculum, which is the blueprint where you will learn the proprietary process of CPI, which is the key to having consistent and predictable income for salespeople without letting time, money, and relationships fall through the cracks. Lastly, I invite for you to share this podcast with others who are competitive, love to learn, assertive, relationship-based, self-starters, just like you, so they can also benefit. And please leave us a rating or a review and subscribe now so that you'll be notified of the next show. Thank you again. I'll see you on the next show. To your success.
If you're a real estate agent and you're located outside of the Washington, D.C. area, and you have a client that wants to buy a home, sell a home, or invest in real estate in the Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C., Maryland area, consider to refer to me. I promise that when you do so, we'll treat them like gold, update you throughout the process, and most importantly, we'll make you look good. And we'll pay you a nice referral fee. If you're a real estate agent in the Northern Virginia, Maryland, or Washington, D.C. area, and you're seeking certainty and predictability in your business, contact me now. I'd love to be able to set up a conversation to show you how we can help you to close transactions every single month of the year. Just imagine January, February, March, April, May, every month of the year that you have income coming into your pocket to help you and your family. Hit me up on social media or email me, Dan@greetingsvirginia.com. Love to set up a time to chat.